Welcome to another episode of the Real Estate Gals Podcast. Sharon Vornholt is your host and the creator of the Louisville Gals Real Estate Blog, where you will learn how to become a savvy real estate investor, make money, build streams of passive income, and create a lifestyle and a business you love. Whether you're a seasoned real estate investor or just getting started, this show is for you. Now, let's talk real estate investing.
This is Sharon Vornholt with the Louisville Gals Real Estate Blog, here today with another episode of Let's Talk Real Estate Investing. And today I want to talk about goals. Now, over the past 4 or 5 weeks on the blog, I've been talking about different aspects of goal setting and the importance of putting the whole picture together. Today, I want to talk about the actual goal setting process. Now, most of you know that I've been working with the 12-week year, for the past year, a little bit over a year, actually. I think the last quarter in 2014 is probably when I started. It's so important to have a plan. That's the first thing you need to understand. Even if you the plan you end up with at the end of the year is completely different from the plan you start out with, which is quite likely, you have to have a plan. You just won't get where you want to go without it. Now, one of the main reasons for that is because life gets in the way, and that's kind of what happened with me getting this podcast done last week. I had some things happen that were unexpected, and I just got a little bit off track, which kind of brings me to the second point I want to point out, and that is that inevitably you're going to get a little bit off track. From time to time, it just happens, and what I see sometimes is people just give up. They just stop at that point. And what you need to do is just get back on the horse, as they say, and move on. So in this next period of time, you know, if you've not got your goals completely nailed down for the next 12 months, then I want you to, you know, really encourage you to do that before the end of January. That's kind of the tipping point here for getting started. You know, ideally you would have them done and you've hit the ground running on January 1st. So let's kind of go through the process one more time. And I like to do this every year, and I like to do it a little bit after the first of the year, simply because there are a lot of people who don't have things completely lined out, even, you know, in the middle of January. So the first part of this is to ask yourself, did you hit your goals for last year? Now, it's a pretty simple question, but the answer might not come so easily, because you have to be brutally honest with yourself. You have to just be all in when it comes to this disclosure. We'll call it that. So part of the process is to just ask yourself these questions. First of all, did you have a plan? Did you have a clear roadmap to get you from where you were then to where you wanted to be? And if the answer was no, then that's most likely a big part of your problem. So once you have your big 3 to 5 goals, and really three, four, maybe five is all you can accomplish in a year. Once you have those down, you know, if you had a plan but you didn't succeed, well, what happened? Was it a lack of focus? Did you simply quit working your plan? You know, maybe something happened in your personal life that caused you to get off track. And let's face it, if something big happens, like, you know, death or divorce or other life-changing events, you can get so far, feel like you're so far off track that you can't get back on, when that couldn't be further from the truth. No matter where you are when this happens, you just need to get up, dust yourself off, and start over again. Now, I had somebody tell me recently that they had no idea why they got off track and really just blew off the whole year. And I have to say that's probably not the case. You probably know what the problem was. And one of the biggest time wasters for everyone is being on the Internet. And I've been guilty of that one myself. you know, is it social media? Is it looking for things on the internet? Is it simply going through your email and spending hours and hours all day? I know a lot of times we feel a responsibility to respond to folks that send us emails. We like to provide good service no matter what our business is. We like to not ignore people, but we really need a schedule for checking email. Maybe that is to do it before the start of your actual work day. And that's another whole topic, having a work day that has hours. You know, a work day where you get up, you get ready for work. Even if you're just walking to your office, you make the commute into your office, prepared for work, just the same as if you were in an outside office. So the way that I have found that it's, you know, managing this whole email thing is I like to do it before I actually start work in the mornings, and then do it about lunchtime, and then maybe do it at the end of the day. And it takes quite a lot of discipline, and I'm the first to say that I fall off the wagon regularly and have to get back on. We just feel like there's going to be something in there that we need to tend to when realistically there's probably not an emergency, because we would get a phone call if it was an emergency. So figure out where you went wrong, where what got in the way of you accomplishing your goals. Now, the fourth thing is maybe after looking at your goals, you've come to realize that some of the things that were on your list are no longer a fit for your business. Now, I have done that. I've started off the year with a list that had certain activities on it, and at some point in time in the year, I just realized that that really didn't meet with the direction I was going, because if you're working your goals and you're focused, you're going to have things come up that are different. You're going to have things you really want to take off your list, and know that that's okay. Part of accomplishing your goals in any business is knowing when to make changes, when to cut something out, or when to say no to something. So look at those four things. You know, did you have a plan? If you had a plan but you didn't succeed, what happened? Be honest about, you know, what went wrong. What type of behavior contributed to you not achieving your goals? And then look back at your goals and see if all of those things need to be on your list. So that would be step one. You know, did you hit your goals? And if you didn't, why not? Now, the next part of this would be planning for success. And this is the part that so many people really get wrong. They have a clear vision of their big things, their big three or four things that they want to do. And they might even jot those down on a paper. But chances are you don't have the paper that you have your goals on. You know, this year I bought a planner. I have my goal sheet, but I bought a planner. I have my calendar, which we'll talk about in a minute. But there needs to be some place that you can keep all of this information. So you decide where you want to go and what you want your business to look like 12 months from now. And don't forget that your goal should be to create a lifestyle business. Now, maybe you are in the very early stages of building your business, and it's going to be all about business. Primarily all about business. As your business matures just a little bit, you're going to find yourself working all the time. And that's the point where you need to take a step back and you need to say, what is the lifestyle I'm trying to create? Now, when you're an entrepreneur, it is definitely about the money. It's definitely about getting clients, about creating income. But if you do that and you don't have a plan for having a life, we'll just say that. Whatever it is that you like to do, if it's play ball or do things with your children or go to their ball games, maybe if you're a woman, you know, maybe you like to play tennis or golf, whatever that is. You have to work those things into your plan. So you have to ask yourself, what do I want my life to look like? What kind of lifestyle do I want? Now, the lifestyle that people that have small children will look very different from the lifestyle of an empty nester. And that's really the beauty of real estate, is that you can change it up and you can have whatever lifestyle you want. And possibly when your children are smaller, you're going to be on a completely different schedule than when you're when you don't have children at home. Or if you don't have children, if it's just you and your trusty dog, you're going to have a different lifestyle than you are the young mother, like some of my students. I know they have three or four small kiddos running around, and it's difficult for them. It's very difficult to get it all in and to have a life that includes some fun in it. So give some thought to what kind of a business you want when you're doing all of this. Maybe you'll make certain choices now and different choices a few years down the road. But whatever that is, you need to have some fun in your life. Otherwise, you're going to be known as the dull person. You know, you don't want it to be all about the work. So if you haven't gotten your big 3 to 5 goals for this upcoming year, I want you to do that now. Just, you know, stop this and write them down. And they should be achievable goals, but they need to be big goals that will cause you to stretch. They shouldn't be simple little things you can check off your list. That's too easy. So the next thing you need to know when you're setting your goals is your why. Now, why do you want to do these things? Is it to make money? Is it to make money and create more free time? Are you want to create passive income for security? There's got to be a reason why you do this, and it has to be a pretty big why, because if you don't have a good enough why, you're going to throw in the towel when the going gets tough. So what is your why? Now, if you're a family person, it might be that you want to be able to provide for your family. Maybe you want to be able to provide for your family and make enough money to take everybody to Disney World this year, or go on a cruise, or do, well, one of any number of things. But you have to really nail down your why. So once you've done that, then you'll be more on your way to getting things done. So the next piece of this puzzle is you have to have a way to be accountable. Now, you know that I'm a proponent of having a big wall calendar, and you need that. You need to head on over to Office Depot and get one of those big wall calendars that you can write on and get everything down. The second piece to this is you need an accountability partner. You need someone that you can talk with at least weekly, and you can share your goals, and you can share what's giving you trouble, share all of those things, somebody to take on your journey with you. And then, you know, this isn't necessarily your husband unless you work with your husband or your wife. It's probably not your kids. It's another person that shares your passion about business and about building a business. So the calendar needs to be on the wall. If you want to keep something in your phone or, you know, in your computer, that's okay. But you still need, you need something visually to have to look at every day to keep you accountable. Now, once you've got your goals nailed down and you take a look at them, you want to ask yourself, is there some balance here? Have you built in fun, some personal and spiritual goals like we talked about before? Make sure that you hit every area of your life. This goes all back to, you know, creating your lifestyle business. Once you have your big goals, before you ever start to fill in your calendar, you want to list each goal on a sheet of paper and then start to break those big goals down into steps. And it is those steps that you are going to put on your calendar. So here's an example. Let's say that, pardon me. Let's say that my goal this year is to implement a direct mail program, and I've never done this before, so we're going to put down every little step that would need to be done. Now, the first thing you would need to do would be to identify exactly what that would entail to create a direct mail campaign from scratch. So it might look something like this. You would decide on which niches or which groups of motivated sellers you want to market to. Maybe they're probates, absentee owners, pre-foreclosures, code violations, tax lien lists. There are so many different ways you can go with this one, but you have to decide. You can't do everything at once. So decide on your niches, on your motivated sellers, and then determine if you can get a list and where you would get that list. Now, I'll use ListSource for most of my lists, and so you can just go online, create an account, and buy the list. And they're really pretty cheap. And you can build your list, add criteria, take away criteria. You can play around with them, and it will give you a count so that you know exactly how much it's going to cost you before you ever hit the purchase button on that. So get your list. When you do your mailings, you have to decide if you're going to do them yourself or if you're going to outsource them. Now, this is another whole show completely, but you can have someone do postcard mailings for you for about the price of what you'll pay for a stamp. You can also get some help from interns or moms when it comes to if you're sending letters to hand addressing envelopes. You're going to need a place for storing your contacts, you know, and a way to print your direct mail if you're doing letters. And you can print direct mail letters right straight out of Word. You can upload an Excel spreadsheet, or you can go into setting up a database with Podio or one of the other systems. But you need a way to, you need a place for these people to live, I like to say. So you need to figure this database piece out. Now, if you're going to outsource your mailings, once you've made that decision, then you want to reach out to those people, you know, research some of the mail services and see which one seems to be right for you. So you want to figure out who that person is going to be. Then you're going to want to upload your list that you've purchased. If you've purchased a list of, let's say, absentee owners, you'll want to upload that list to the mailing service and then arrange for them to send it out, which will involve you giving them a credit card number to pay for it before they'll do it. And lastly, you're going to need a website to drive traffic to, a website for them to, you're going to want to put this on all of your mail pieces so that you start to build your credibility as an investor. So that was just one example of all of the steps. I think there are probably, I don't know, 10 or 12 steps there. I didn't count them. To all of the tiny little pieces that you would schedule on a calendar to get your direct mail, your first direct mail campaign set up. So you see where I'm going with this. For each of your big goals, you need to break them down into individual steps, the tiniest little step, you know, next each time. And those are the things you will schedule on your calendar. So this gives you an idea of how to break down the process. You know, if you wanted to create real estate products, it would be a similar process. Driving for dollars, you could put down all of the steps, you know, for you don't just go out and drive around. You know, you pick a neighborhood, you've got to have a criteria for houses and all of the different things like that. So this gives you an idea of setting your goals, getting the steps down so that you can actually accomplish them, and not having so many goals that you can't possibly feel like you've won at the end of the year. So if you have any questions, just send me an email. I hope this has been helpful. I look forward to your comments, and I'll see you soon back here on another episode of Let's Talk Real Estate Investing.